gospel song?
Yeah, somewhat unexpected to give a talk about Christmas before it was even Thanksgiving. Now, I have to admit, I was both surprised and a bit disappointed with myself when I realized that I was about to give a message about Christmas before it was Thanksgiving. You see, I'm one of those people who goes absolutely crazy when I walk into a store before Thanksgiving and they already have all their Christmas stuff up. Now, nowadays, you can find it in some stores even before it's Halloween. And like I said, it just drives me absolutely crazy. As a matter of fact, Christmas music is one of my all-time favorite kinds of music. But I don't even listen to it until I'm in the car driving back from Thanksgiving family meal. Now, with that in mind, and not wanting to be too obvious in my scripture selection, I picked out today's reading. In particular, the ending of today's reading sounds like one of the readings that we hear throughout Advent and Covenant. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Being that I am one of those people who thinks Christmas should actually wait until it's actually Christmas, I thought to myself, I'm not really going to do this, am I? Am I going to do a Christmas service before Thanksgiving? And as I was beginning to sort of hate myself a little bit for even thinking about it, I had this thought. And so I pulled out my handy-dandy guide to the lectionary to check something out. And sure enough, it turns out that the exact text that we read today also rolls around once every few years on Easter. Now, this Christmas-Easter connection sort of fascinated me. In the Christian tradition, we spend a whole lot of time focusing on the beginning of Jesus' story, his birth, Christmas, and the end of his story, at least as it was embodied here on earth, his death and resurrection. Easter. We spent a lot of time focusing on them when so much happened in between the two of them. And not only that, I'd make the argument, particularly considering that scholarship tells us that both the accounts of Easter and Christmas were probably written after Jesus had practiced his entire ministry, that both the story of Christmas and the story of Easter, scholars tell us, all point to his ministry. See, there's this very close connection between Christmas and Easter, but it's a little too easy to overlook, even though the Easter story, the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus, is the origin of many of our popular Christmas symbols. You see, take for instance, the holly that we'll probably be putting up today, frequently used as a decoration at Easter. It was adopted by Christians in England as a Christmas symbol because its thorns and red berries reminded people of the crown of thorns. The poinsettias that we'll have in our church became the Christmas flower in Mexico because the green leaves were said to symbolize Jesus' life and the red bloom symbolized his death. The red and white peppermint candy that has become so much a part of Christmas is said to represent the body and blood that we celebrate when we have communion. Christmas wreaths actually started in Roman and Greek symbols of victory and came to be used by at Christmas time in Italy originally as a symbol of Jesus' victory over death at Easter. The connection doesn't actually stop there either. There are actually connections in the scripture. When you read the infancy narratives in Matthew and Luke, and I say that because they're not actually in Mark or John, remember, like I said earlier, they were written after his ministry, and most scholars agree that they have connections to his ministry. So you end up with a baby being placed in a manger, a feeding trough. Why? Well, one theory says that he became spiritual food. An infant's body is wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger, just as the body of the crucified Christ is wrapped in cloth and laid in a tomb. He is placed in the wood of a manger and will travel to the wood of a cross. The Magi came seeking the newborn King of the Jews. And above the cross, the Romans wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Even myrrh is brought by the Magi to his birth, which was something that was used to anoint the dead. There are many connections between Easter and Christmas. Many of them are biblical, and many of them are simply created in response to biblical connections. But the real connection is everything that happens in between Christmas and Easter. The life, the teaching of Jesus. And that's where we come back to our scripture for today. You see, biblical scholars actually agree that the central message of the life and teachings of Jesus, anyone want to venture a guess what biblical scholars tend to agree on? The central teaching? Yeah, I wouldn't want to either. They agree that the central teaching of Jesus was the kingdom of God. In Mark, Jesus' ministry was introduced with these words, Jesus came to Galilee preaching and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew says Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the kingdom of God. In Luke, Jesus says he was sent for the purpose of teaching us about the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? In Greek, it is the basileia of God, the rule of God. Or said differently, the kingdom of God is where what God desires takes place. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we're praying thy basileia come. Thy desires be done. Thy will be done. What we have here in today's scripture is part of the picture of what God wills. What God desires. Much like David read from the message, let me read part of today's scripture from the message. No more sounds of weeping in the city, no more cries of anguish. No more babies dying in the cradle or old people who don't enjoy a full lifetime. 100th birthdays will be considered normal. Anything less will seem like a cheat. They'll build houses and move in. They'll plant fields and eat what they grow. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill anywhere on my holy mountain, says God. Or as the words we have from Jesus put it last week in last week's scripture reading, God has sent me to proclaim to the captives and release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Sure, those two readings don't exactly name the same things that God desires, but they do come from the same things that God desires. They do seek the same things. They do require the same things. It's what God seeks. It's what God requires of us all, to seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly. That is the kingdom of God, the basileia of God, what God wills, what God wants for us all, justice, kindness, humility. That's what connects Christmas to Easter. Through the life and teachings of Jesus, there's a clear line, a clear path, a clear connection between the two, and it's made by the justice of God. A justice that is only made possible through loving kindness and humility. A loving kindness that does not see itself as more deserving than another person. A loving kindness that simply would not be satisfied if it prospered while others faltered. A loving kindness that would prefer to be a servant rather than a king. A loving kindness that would lay down its very life to show us exactly how far love will go in the name of justice. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where what God desires takes place. When we pray thy kingdom come, we are praying that basileia come, thy desires come, thy will be done. And when we pray it, we say, on earth as it is in heaven. I sometimes do not understand why that phrase rolls so effortlessly off of our lips when we say it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will? What is God's desires? What does God require of you? To do justice. To practice loving kindness. To walk humbly. God wants us to embody our beliefs. God wants us to embody our beliefs because they are not real. They are not actualized until our beliefs are put into practice. The promise of God was born unto the world. In that crib, that manger, that feeding trough, it was still just a promise. It was not actualized until it was put into practice. In the life and teachings of Jesus, we saw what justice, loving kindness, and humility looked like living here on earth. Heaven came down. God's will was lived out here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as the story goes, we crucified it. We humans sacrificed heaven on earth for the ways of the world. We traded justice for vengeance. We traded loving kindness for fear and hate. We traded humility for power, and we nailed it to a tree. We have to ask ourselves, do we continue to miss the opportunity to see this Easter-Christmas connection? Do we still sacrifice what God desires for us? Do we still sacrifice the good God intends for this world? Do we sacrifice heaven on earth for the trinkets and values of our earthly desires? Beginning with the Christmas story, God is always calling us to a higher way, to a better way, to God's intended way. It is a call story that runs all the way through Easter and then continues on throughout the stretch of human history. A call from God to value life, to seek out heavenly justice, not some skewed earthly version of it. A call to practice loving kindness with all people to the extent that, as far as our text imagines, there are no more cries in the city. All are cared for. All are safe. All are sound. All are secure. And here's the good news. The connection we are looking for between Christmas and Easter and life in this world, the connection is before us. Jesus taught us what? The kingdom of God, the basileia of God, heaven on earth looks like. He taught us. Other great spiritual leaders taught us. The good news is, all we have to do is follow.